Welcome to the Fordcast, a Harrison Ford podcast.
Where we go through all of his movies so you don't have to.
Oh, you said it this time. Nice.
You know, sometimes I bring out the surprises.
I am your co-host, Lauren Milberger.
And I am Rachel Leishman.
And today we're going to be talking about, why is that so funny?
I don't know. Everything's funny.
Why don't you tell the people what we're going to be talking about, Rachel? Because that's how we feel about it.
I talk about random hearts.
In 1999, we're going to party like it's 1999.
This movie's fucking dumb.
Oh, we're going to go right into it?
No. Continue what we're supposed to do. I'm just letting the people know.
All right. Why don't you tell
everybody? I think it's fucking dumb.
Why don't you tell everybody who directed it? Because it's a reprieve. We're going back to a similar territory.
Reprise.
There you go. Reprise. That's it. I'm tired.
Sydney Pollack, who directed Sabrina, it directed this piece of garbage.
And apparently they were talking about it on the set of Sabrina, but he didn't like the script.
And they what had was the to script like before it. Then? If
I
he
don't
didn't
know,
like it?
I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
This is based on a novel,
mm-hmm.
By Warren Adler, who wrote War of the Roses, which is actually a really pretty amazing movie, although obviously written and directed by different people. Have you seen War of the Roses?
Nope. Michael, I have not.
It's Michael Douglas. It's actually almost the entire cast of Romancing the Stone. Also a great movie. Who came together. Danny DeVito is in it as well. And Kathleen Turner. It's about a couple who have a really crazy divorce and almost kill each other.
Oh, okay.
Let's just talk about War of the Roses. We could just do that. This is written by Kurt Ludtke, who wrote Out of Africa, in which he won the Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay.
Yeah, all of his energy went into that.
I mean, maybe there were some rewrites that we're not aware of, that they didn't, you know, the WGA, they didn't have enough time or dialogue to be credited.
It's dumb.
Yes. His character is Sergeant William Dutch. Everyone calls him Dutch. And actually, what is it? Vandenbroek? Is that it?
Yeah, it's like a normal-ass last name, and they're acting like it's so hard to fucking say.
And it was released on October 8th, 1999. And I don't.
Wait, what'd you say?
It was released on October 8th, 1999.
Oh.
What'd you think I said?
I heard 8th in 1999, so I thought it was my birthday.
Oh, no. I would think I would remember that.
It was close.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say Kevin Pollack, because I love Kevin Pollack. And I love Sydney Pollack. But Sydney Pollack is also in this movie, which we talked about with Sabrina, is that he was an actor and he. Often, but not always, he's not in Sabrina, acts in his movies. He's in Tootsie. Of all the movies that I've seen, this is the largest role I feel like he's had.
I guess fine. It was just a shitty movie.
Yeah. But the actors are amazing, which I could talk. I literally have like a page of all the actors, but we'll go on to that in a second. So some background information. I previously had talked about that Harrison was looking at that movie Age of Aquarius. He was looking at it again before this movie as his next move. And it was going to be produced by DreamWorks. So it was a little sort of Spielbergian. That was in April of 97. And they were looking at Kristin Scott Thomas, who eventually played his love interest in that, being in this movie in which... it would be about a American relief worker who falls in love with a Bosnian woman, played by Kristin Scott Thomas, but the budget was so overdone and expensive, they had to drop the whole project. And then they worked together in this movie.
Yeah.
I previously talked on the show how I was excited about this movie. I think that's why I was more disappointed in it. But I thought, oh, an age-appropriate romance. And I was wrong. No, there's an 18-year difference between Kristin Scott Thomas and Harrison Ford. I don't know why I thought.
It wasn't really a romance.
Yeah. But this movie sort of was in development hell since like 1984.
They should have just stopped.
It was supposed to be a TV movie originally with Dustin Hoffman. Yes. And of course, Sydney Pollack unfortunately passed away in 2008. But he has some great movies like Tootsie and Out of Africa that you should see instead of this movie. Unless you love Harrison Ford or...
That doesn't help it.
No.
I realize I don't like 1990s Harrison Ford.
Yes. No, that's true. And I guess it's a good thing that we're almost done with the 90s.
Is What Lies Beneath in 99?
2000.
That's what I'm saying. Then we're done. This is it.
Yeah.
You said we're almost done. No, I'm done. I watched all the 90s. I am done with the 90s.
Well, I meant because we're not done with this episode yet.
Whatever. I've seen the movie, so I'm done with the 90s.
Unfortunately, during filming, Harrison's father died. So he had a lot of emotional stress during the film.
So there was one scene where he got emotional.
He did. There was this really interesting quote
that was supposed to come out as sarcasm, since this movie is supposed to be emotional
and
from
it's
what
not.
Happens in this movie.
And it's not. And we'll talk about that in a second. But let's talk about Harrison. So he said, emotionally, it really took a toll on me. It was a very difficult time in my life, and I'm a very private man. I had to tell my co-stars what was happening, which was hard for me. But many days I was happy to be on set. Work has always been a comfort to me. Now, this quote was attributed in the book that I read to his father passing away, which I'm sure is true. But considering the subject matter of the movie, which is about finding out that your marriage is not what you thought it was.
And also death.
And death. Yeah. But I think what perhaps, and again, can't guess what's happening, but he was separated by the beginning of the 2000s. So I think that might have been a part of him feeling a little emotional, but I'm sure it was everything.
Here's the thing about Harrison Ford. When he is emotional, it's the opposite of every other human being. His emotions shut off and then he can't act. This movie was so bad. It made me be like, do I like Harrison Ford?
Let's get into it. As I mentioned, because we were watching the end as I came here,
which was good. My time watching this
I watched it a month ago, so this was a good reminder. It was the first time I really noticed that he has a bit of a receding hairline, and the haircut was terrible.
He's pulling what Chris Pine's hair looks right now, and that's because Chris Pine was stupid and shaved his whole head.
So are you going to do a summary, or are we going to skip the summary?
Oh, I'll do a summary.
Oh, God. I mean, yes, please do a summary.
Buckle in. This fucking movie. Okay, so what happens is there's two couples. There's Kristen Scott Thomas, whose name is Kay, her husband Colin, and then it is Harrison Ford, Dutch, if you will, and Peyton, his wife. So the beginning of the movie,
such a white girl name, Peyton.
So then in the beginning of the movie, you see this messy room and there's like a voicemail. And
wow, you're really going to go into depth in
this.
I am.
Whoever directed, or Sidney Pollack, made the bed, like their bedroom in their home and this apartment bedroom look almost identical. So I thought that she had called, like I thought that phone call on the voicemail was at their home. I was like, that is a brave fucking move for the mistress and the guy.
Wanted you to know that because, spoiler alert, later on, one of the mysteries, which is not a mystery at all, is that they had an apartment.
But it looks like, I thought that he had called the house. I'm like, that's a ballsy fucking move because you can tell that she was married to someone else and that was not Harrison Ford. Anyways, I knew nothing about this movie going in.
Peyton.
So then Peyton and Harrison Ford fuck before.
And he's sweaty, by the way,
from a run.
He's sweaty.
He just came from a run. And then she goes away on a plane with her boy toy, but tells him like,
Peter Coyote.
Harrison Ford thinks they're going to go get dinner. So then like for the first like 15 minutes of this movie, you keep seeing this plane crash in Miami and you saw his wife and her husband getting on a plane together going to Miami. And then finally it shows them like floating dead in the water. So you know they died.
Yeah, that scene I did not need to see that scene. So they were on the plane.
Yeah.
Did not see their bloated dead bodies in the water. That
also,
was gratuitous.
I don't understand why. It was like they crashed in like a bay, I think.
I think so.
So I don't understand why everyone on that plane is dead. Like if that plane had crashed on ground, understandable. But we know now because of the Hudson River crash, you can crash a plane. It was like a bay. It was not
it's
the
called
middle of
Miracle
the
on the Hudson. Like he landed it. This went in the water. There's a difference. He landed it on the water in Miracle on the Hudson.
Okay, well then these pilots sucked.
Sully was so amazing.
These guys sucked. Anyways, a domestic plane crash, which happens when in We Are Marshall, and that was before planes are what planes are now.
Yeah.
Anywho's. So then Harrison Ford goes, like, he's trying to figure out, like, oh my God, was she on the
detective.
Plane?
He's a detective. He's got a brain
for,
detective.
Like, internal affairs. It's not, like, he's not, like, a real detective.
Oh, I didn't realize.
He's an internal affairs.
That makes
affairs.
Sense now.
That's why he, yeah. like, they were like, this is now a murder. He goes, I'm investigating it. Like, that's not your job. So then he, like, figures out that his wife had been cheating on him with this congresswoman, Kay's husband.
David. Sorry, go ahead. Never mind.
Oh, you're saying the actor's name? Because Peter, his name's Colin.
It's Peter Coyote, and I said David by accident.
Yeah, I was like, his name's Colin.
Peter Coyote. I just like saying his name. He's awesome.
So the wife and the husband are dead, and Harrison Ford and Kristen Scott Thomas, like, he keeps pushing her into finding out more about, like, he, like, tells her that they're... spouses had an affair with each other.
My biggest problem with the movie was she does not want to know about her husband's affair. Leave her alone.
Yeah. And I'm just showing you the summary because then we'll go in depth through everything.
Yeah, sorry. I shut up.
No,
sorry.
So then basically, like, they end up falling in love through them trying to figure out this affair and why it happened and all this stuff.
But then she is like,
no, we can't be in love. I'm a congresswoman, or I'm trying to run for Congress. And then there's also side storylines, like she's running for Congress and he's tracking David Palmer from 24, who is a crooked cop.
Dennis Haysbert.
And
Haysbert.
I don't know his real name.
It's Dennis Haysbert. He's an amazing actor.
Don't listen to Lauren. It's David Palmer. David Palmer.
Okay, yeah, just call him David Palmer.
I'm going to call him David Palmer. That man comes on the Allstate commercials. He is David Palmer.
Ugh.
I don't care what he does.
I have a page of actors to talk about.
That's fine. He is David Palmer for the rest of his life.
You can talk about him. That's fine.
One time in college, I literally heard me and my roommate, it was like we were snowed in and we were laying in our room. And finally, like, we were like, oh, let's like sit for a minute without the TV on. So we paused it. And down the hall, we heard like boop, 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 boop. And someone was like having a marathon of 24. We could hear it like down the hall. Anyway, his name's David Palmer.
Okay.
So
I believe you.
David Palmer is a crooked cop. She's running for Congress, but then Bonnie Hunt, it has some shit that happened.
Bonnie Hunt is
literally like this movie couldn't have picked a lane and just gone in it. And I told Lauren, I was like, the problem with this movie is it has the feel of like a 90s thriller, but is not a thriller. And it has weird, like it has that music that you would be like, oh my God, like some shit's going to go down. Nothing ever happened.
Jazz favorites.
Yeah, it was like, it was that, and it was ominous, and it, like, it made me think of Presumed Innocence and the way that it was displayed for me, but nothing, then it wasn't a thriller.
Which is interesting, because that is a thriller from the 80s. This is based on a book from the 80s, and my issue is that when you adapt a book to screen, you sometimes can't keep all the storylines, because it's too much for a movie, and this is too much.
This movie, if this was literally just two people who realized that their spouses were like
exactly
cheating on them and then they fell in love, like, fine. And like, she can still be running for Congress and he can still be a cop, but I don't need to know that there's a crooked cop. I don't need her Congress bullshit. I don't even need the Bonnie Hunt bullshit. I just need it like straight through.
It could have just been a movie about him and his wife died and he's going after this crooked cop. I wouldn't like that movie, but it could have been. It was too much.
It was like a love story that was like, not maybe we could have been a thriller in a different universe. Like,
it didn't know what it wanted to be. It was too. You gotta kill your darlings. You know, when you adapt a book, you gotta sometimes cut characters and storylines. It just, in a book, it was probably fascinating. Oh, look at all this really cool intrigue. What's going on here? And even if she had been able to go on sort of the mystery of finding out what happened together. Like, I actually have this interesting quote where I keep calling him Kevin Pollak because I love Kevin Pollak. Sidney Pollack said, I didn't want it to be Mr. and Mrs. North. And Mr. and Mrs. North was in the 40s, this married detective couple. Mm-hmm. No, that would have been fine. She's the more interesting character. And if the two of them together had gone on this sort of mystery figuring out thing and then fallen in love, because they spend no time together and then fall in love, that would have been fine, but...
Listen. This whole movie, I was just like waiting for someone to get shot. It happened. It was just stupid.
I was thinking, and I didn't prepare for this. So how many times does that make it that he's been shot in a movie?
I don't fucking know.
So there's that. There's Witness. Right?
Are we talking like shot at or shot?
No, like shot. Like blood shot. So There's
he's been shot at a lot.
Sure, but like literally shot. So this movie,
Witness.
I know there's more. I feel like there's like two more.
People, so he was never actually shot in Indy.
No.
Was he shot in Blade Runner?
No, I don't believe so. He's pretty, you know, beat up in it. And then he's not shot in 6 days and seven nights, but he's still got the thing.
Yeah.
People are screaming at their iPhones right now or their Androids telling us how many people. So tweet it. Tweet to us. Tweet to us how many times he's been shot.
Yes, please, because I don't remember.
No, I was going to just mention that I didn't have the thing in front of me when I said early 2000s, and I was pretty sure it was 2000 that Harrison Ford got separated from his second wife, and I just wanted to confirm that. And his father was 92 when he passed away, so we might have a lot of Harrison Ford coming up.
That's how I live my life. We don't know about my grandma because she died in a car accident. I was seven. I have, at this point in my life, it's okay. But my grandparents are old. Mom's dad, I think, was 86, and he had a heart thing, and he had a surgery he shouldn't have gotten. If he didn't get that heart surgery, he would have lived longer. And then my dad's dad was like 92, and then my dad's mom was like 90. So I'm like, hell yeah, my whole family's nice. Old as shit.
But continue your amazing summary of a horrible movie that we both hated.
We had a moment. Basically, guys, so like it's them falling in love. But they're not.
But they don't fall in love.
But they don't. It says there's no chemistry.
Says they fall in love, but they don't.
It's bad.
They fall in lust. I would believe the lust part.
Yeah.
They're lonely. They're mad at their spouses. They fall in lust. The script wants us to think they're in love, but I do not see that at all.
They are together tops a month. Tops.
That's right. We're trying to figure that out. We're thinking like about a month, right?
Yeah. I said like tops a month. Let's remake this movie in modern day times and fix everything. Because they don't, like, you couldn't make this movie now.
No. It's very much a product of its time.
Because if you, like, literally all the things it takes him forever to figure out, you could figure out in 2 minutes. Or no, better yet, I want a movie where he is on the phone with American Airlines the entire movie trying to get that manifesto. Because that wouldn't happen. He'd get in a fight with United.
That's pretty funny. Well, that's something to be said, that this is a whole different movie because it's about, you know, planes in a small, small way before 9/11.
2 years.
Yeah.
All right, let's go through this fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, please. Let's talk about some other stuff. Keep going.
Where were you? We're going to go through the movie.
I thought you were doing your summary.
That's basically it. There's nothing really else of a summary. They kind of fall in love. I said, we'll go through the whole movie because there's so much to do.
Okay.
And this also... Otherwise, there's not much to talk about.
Well,
we'll just go through the movie.
I mean, at the end, they sort of say they're going to get together, and they will. Well, it's that sort of, you know...
Will they, won't they?
Tragic adult... Hey, now that you're no longer in Congress, look me up sometime. Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Bye. Ah, na, na, na. And then there was a song that played at the end that I think was called Good Things, because I can't figure out which song it was based from the credits. But
it's just...
If it was called Good Things, that would be quite ironic. And in an Alanis Morissette kind of a way. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I think here's what we'll do. Audience, we'll go through some stuff and then we'll just go through the whole movie.
Oh, great.
Or at least some of the movie. Because I think that is a smarter option than not having anything to say about this piece of shit.
I think we have things to say. And like I said, page of actors I want to talk about. Did you recognize the person from Carmen Sandiego?
No. That's my thing. The actors thing, I'm going to be like, oh, cool. That's why I was like, it's smart if we like.
I thought you would think it was cool that the chief from Carmen Sandiego is in this movie. You know, the chief... character. Did you watch? I did
when I was a kid. I don't remember anything.
Lynn Thigpen is, you know, the two people who work for the airline, and one of them is actually an actor who was in Air Force One.
Oh, the woman. Oh,
yeah.
The woman.
Mm-hmm.
I recognized her and I didn't know why.
I had a feeling you wouldn't. Lynn Thigpen is amazing. She won a Tony for this great Wendy Wasserstein play called An American Daughter. She unfortunately passed away in 2002 from a hemorrhage. It was A friend of mine was working on the TV show she was on. It was horrible. Oh. But anyway, she's a really amazing actor. But again, because she died young, I think a lot of people don't really, really remember her except from Carmen Sandiego. But continue. You were saying.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
This is my favorite
name. I almost said Kellyanne Conway.
Oh, no. That's a pretty great skit. So should I go into the actors or you want to talk about something else? Should we talk about the earring? I know you hate the earring.
No, here's my guy's game plan.
He wears the earring in the movie.
He wears the earring, game plan though.
Well, he just kind of got it a couple years
before. I'm saying the game plan.
Okay, sorry, continue.
We're going to talk actors. Okay. We'll talk what was happening and then we'll go through the movie.
Okay, and then I'm going to talk about his helicopter crash and his
environment.
Yeah, awesome.
So we're going to do cast.
Why are we talking like this?
We're going to do cast. We're going to do cast. We're going to do what was happening at the time. Okay. Well, we kind of already did that, so never mind.
Yeah,
we're gonna do cast. Then we're gonna go through the whole movie.
I like this voice you're doing. It's nice,
Janice. Janice, go through the cast.
See, the movies we hate are the most fun.
Janice, go through the cast so that we can talk the fucking movie.
Oh, I'm Janice. Oh, you're okay.
Who else would be Janice?
I don't know. So, my favorite is Asif Manvi as the electronics store salesman, who was one line.
Oh my
gosh,
no, but here, okay, when he came up today, like when he appeared, yeah. I like was like, Uncle Monty, and like flipped out and was like on the train. And I know, I was like looking around like to see if anyone was watching me watch this, because I loved Uncle Monty when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, he was Uncle Monty in the Netflix version of A Series of Unfortunate Events. Okay. And Uncle Monty is the best. And then Uncle Monty dies because of Count Olaf.
Spoiler.
That book is like 15 years old. Okay. Pick up a book.
Duly noted. No, that's true. That's true.
And so he played Uncle Monty. And I like was like on the train. I'm like, no one here knows what I'm watching or gives a shit.
This is Kate Mara's first movie?
Nope. Second.
Second?
Yep.
I had it as her first movie.
Nope.
All right. Never mind.
Fact checking you right now. Because that was on... when I was watching it today,
I think she has a television credit, but it said this is her first film debut.
Let me see.
According to IMDb. And we know her from House of Cards. She's Zoe Barnes.
It may have been a TV credit. I was thinking as a credit. And it,
no, it's not, yeah, but it's her film debut. They made a big deal about it being her film debut.
If it's her, it might be her film debut, but it was
she
not,
was 15.
No, Joe the King.
Oh, never mind then.
Yeah, Joe the King.
Maybe it was the first
out. This is okay. Joe the King is January 22nd of 1999.
They probably meant the fact it was the first movie that she filmed.
I mean, she could have filmed it before, but Joe the King came out first.
But that was what I had found. So it was
because I was like on my thing I watched on. She was the one that showed up before.
Sure,
Harrison Ford. Like I was scrolling through celebrities trying to find them, and she popped up before Harrison Ford did. So I clicked on her and watched it that way.
Something interesting for those. Have you watched Glow? Are you done with Glow?
I'm not done with Glow.
Okay,
so but I have seen an episode.
Anyone who's seen Glow on Netflix, which is amazing, Betty Gilpin, one of the leads, her father is in this movie.
Ooh.
He has a very small part. He's the guy, the character's name is David Dotson, but he's the one who gives him the list of names. He's the one that gives him the sheet that he's like not supposed to. And they come to his house.
Right.
He's like a working actor. This is a pretty small part for him. Peter Coyote, who I keep mentioning, I don't understand why he has such a small part as Kay's husband, unless it was a bigger part, because he's kind of, to me, a big actor at that time.
It might have just been one of those, like...
He got cut or something, like, during, like, rewrites, or I don't know. But he's, like, an outrageous fortune. He's in E.T., The Legend of Billie Jean, which I'd forgotten he was in.
Because
he was in E.T.? Yeah.
So you knew Harrison and his wife?
Maybe. That's true. I was at a party on July 4th and I was reminded that he was in The Legend of Billie Jean because I love that movie, but I had not seen it since I was like 5. Esapatha Merkinson.
Sepulveda.
From Law and Order.
Sepulveda.
What?
I'm just being a smart.
Oh, okay. But like.
You said a weird name and I just went Sepulveda.
She was on Law and Order for years. Also a really great theater actress. Brooke Smith, who plays Sarah, one of Peyton's one of Peyton's coworkers was.
Is that the girl who like booked the flights? Because I recognized her and I don't remember where.
No,
I
actually,
her
I didn't really know, so I didn't really look her up. I looked
she,
at people
no,
I knew.
I know
the,
her.
The one with the curly hair. She was the one who was kidnapped in Silence of the Lambs, who was put in the hole.
Let me look up this movie.
Okay, Bill Cobbs, who plays Marvin.
I think she's from 24.
Oh, maybe.
Now that I'm thinking of it, I think the girl I'm thinking of is from 24.
I didn't watch 24.
David Palmer and this bitch. I think she's from 24.
I watched 24 when Cherry Jones was president because I was excited about Cherry Jones being on the show.
Hold on, I'm looking.
Okay, you look. So Bill Cobbs is Marvin, you know, the guy who gets thrown in the garbage. He's like the most amazing working actor.
Good.
He was in Night at the Museum, West Wing, Sesame Street, The Color of Money, The Bodyguard. Like, he works like crazy. And then Edie Falco shows up.
She's Michelle on 24.
Hey, look at that. Mary Claire.
Mary Claire. But as soon as I thought about it, I was like, wait, I know her because she's on 24. Michelle, I think, is the one that was in love with Tony Almeida. People who watch 24 are like, bitch, you're wrong. Or they're like, she got it. But let me see.
But like Edie Falco,
Michelle
randomly
Desler.
Shows up. Although I looked up her IMDb, and Edie Falco in the 90s played like cops.
Yep, Tony Almeida.
Hey,
this people are gonna be listening to this. Like, it keeps going back to 24, and it's just exclusively because I'm talking.
That's
about 24.
Interesting. They were in the movie together. Charles S. Dutton plays his partner, who is an amazing character actor. Was nominated for a Tony for his Broadway debut in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and it. His story is so cool to me. Like, I used to watch his show on Fox when I was a kid called Rock. That he was in jail, and then he read a book while he was in solitary confinement with African-American playwrights, and then he went to Yale, and then nominated for a Tony, all just because he was in solitary confinement. So he, like, changed his life around. Like, I just think that's
awesome.
Really cool. Yeah. So he's always been really great. He's a wonderful actor. Richard Jenkins, we were talking about this. I think that he's her chief of staff, or he's like her main person.
The guy from Step Brothers.
Yeah. But he's been in Liberal Arts and 6 Feet Under and I Heart Huckabees and Hannah and Her Sisters and was nominated for an Oscar. I love this guy. But his character's name was Truman Trainer. Such a book name. Dylan Baker plays Richard Judd, who's the friend. And I've talked about him on the show before. Do you remember? You don't remember.
Okay. I don't remember talking about. Well, you're talking about Bonnie Hunt's husband?
Yes.
So I was making. I thought of a really funny tweet, and so I had to put my microphone down so I could do this tweet.
No, you can keep tweeting. I'll just keep talking.
You guys, because it'll. Oh, this will come out a really long time after I've tweeted this, a month after I've tweeted this. But just to put in perspective, when we're recording this, the healthcare thing happened today. Which I'm just gonna say healthcare
that
thing
be,
and see what proceeds to happen
I was
after I've
say,
said this.
That could be so vague that it could be.
But I mean,
else.
If they find this tweet, they'll know. But we know, but they might not know.
So you're asking people to be a
go
detective
on my Twitter.
and be a detective like Harrison Ford.
Guys, it's 8:57 on the night we're recording this, but you have to figure out what night it is.
It's an interactive episode.
It is.
You were going to be like Dutch. And
yep.
Pay and find out the mystery of the tweet.
So I need to find a good GIF, but here's my tweet. It says, me, raise a glass to freedom, the GOP, and it's them smacking a glass out of the hand. Out of someone's
when you
hand.
Explain comedy, it's so much better.
Comedy needs explained or it's not funny. Lauren, keep talking. Put this microphone down so I can finish this.
Okay, all right. So if you go back to the Sabrina episode, or else I could just tell the story, is that Dylan Baker and his wife, Becky Ann Baker, who is in Sabrina, bought me and my friends drinks on election night because they're so awesome.
Right. I remember.
And then I was seeing the front page, which Dylan was in, the next day. And I thought, oh, this is so nice because they left before I could thank them. I wanted to thank them because we're all so sad. And they did this sort of lovely thing. And we talked to them and they were also really lovely. And I admire them both as actors. So I was like, I'm going to leave a letter at the stage door because I'm going anyway. And he found me on Facebook the next day and sent me a lovely little note.
He sounds lovely.
I love them. But I talked about him before. He was in The Good Wife and The Good Fight and a million things. Eventually, we're going to get on to Anchorman 2. He's in it, but he's done so much more prestigious things than Anchorman 2. And then
Harrison Ford was also in that movie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, that's what I said. Well, that's what I said. We're going to get on to that movie because we're going to cover it on the show.
Right. Oh, I forgot we're covering. He's in that movie for...
We'll cover it for like 2 seconds and then talk about Tina Fey and Amy Poehler for the whole time, pretty much.
Are they? They're like, they cameo in that.
They do, but they have the best... Oh my God. I love what they do as the entertainment reporters. Anyway, I digress. We're going to talk about... Or I'm going to talk about my love of Bonnie Hunt.
Go ahead. I'm still trying to find a good gif.
Okay, all right. This will be good.
I'm still trying to find a good gif of a glass being slapped
so
out of
while
my
hand. I do work, she's going to tweet. So I have been a fan of Bonnie Hunt's since forever that I can remember. She started at Second City. She plays Kay's best friend. You guys probably know her from Jumanji, from Jerry Maguire, from Beethoven.
She's the aunt in... Well, kind of both.
In
but
what?
She's an aunt. She's the aunt in Jumanji. And she's from Nathan Wager's.
She's not the aunt.
She is?
No, she's not. She's Sarah Whittle. She's the neighborhood girl who saw Robin Williams.
She is those two little kids' aunt.
No, she's not.
Yes,
she lives down the street. She grew up with Robin Williams' character. Saw him getting sucked into the thing. The kids who live in the house.
Is Andy Mc... No, who's the curly haired lady? Oh my God, I forgot Jumanji.
You totally forgot
what
Jumanji.
What is the
BB Newworth is their
Newirth
aunt.
BB Newirth is their aunt.
Just look at my face, look at my pale skin and my curly hair, and you didn't think
like,
BB Newirth?
What's going on?
I was so confused. No,
yeah,
BB
right.
Newirth is their aunt.
You're right.
Yes.
And then
she's
the aunt to that little boy, Jonathan Lipnicki and Jerry Maguire, but it's Renee Zellweger's sister.
Yes, she is. Or... her friend, but probably her sister, because I hate Jerry Maguire, so I've not seen it more than
that's
once.
That's her sister.
No, I believe you. I just have not seen it because I don't like it. I was also on a really bad date when I saw it, so that doesn't help, but I did not like Jerry Maguire. I only saw it for Bonnie Hunt.
Oh my God.
She's got one of my favorite moments of Dave.
Sorry, that oh my God was not you.
No, I figured.
It is so hard to try and find a gif of someone slapping a glass out of someone else's hand.
Really? That's surprising.
Right?
Yeah.
I thought that would be such an easy joke to make.
But do you remember her and Dave? Because I quote it like all the time. Just,
no.
We're walking, and we're stopping here at the White House. And then like...
Oh, I remember that quote, yeah. But I don't remember Dave that much.
It's her. Well, we should watch it and do a whole show on Dave. But I first loved her. She was in this short-lived show called Grand, which I looked up because I was like, God, I remember this show. And Michael McKean is in it, and Joel Murray is in it. Sarah Rue is in it. Pamela Reed, and was this amazing sitcom. And then I became a huge fan of hers. And what I also love about Bonnie Hunt is that she's a writer. She wrote and directed and co-starred in Return to Me, which is a great romantic comedy with Mimi Driver, who you kind of said before, right?
Minnie,
what'd I say?
Mimi.
Oh, I meant to say that.
Minnie Driver. I think I found a gif.
I'm so happy for you.
They're smashing a glass on someone's head. Now I can focus on this episode of this shitty movie because I found my gif.
And
guys, you'll be so proud when you see this.
I think you're going to be really proud. So she's one of my heroes from when I was a kid because she was a writer and an actor, and that's what I wanted to be. And she's one of the big reasons that I studied at Second City.
Interesting.
Yeah. She was in Cheaper by the Dozen. She does mostly voiceover work
she
now for Pixar.
Mom.
She is. She and Steve Martin make a really cute couple.
Tom Welling is their son.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. She's in Only You, which is also a great 90s romantic comedy. Oh, but you hate 90s movies.
That is a lie. Mm-hmm. I hate 90s Harrison Ford movies,
okay.
Apparently.
That's duly noted. And her first movie was Rain Man.
What a way to
I know.
Come on the scene there, Bonnie.
So, hi, Bonnie. Please come on the show.
Hey, Bonnie, you want to come talk about this shitty movie you did?
I have seen every TV show that she wrote and created that was canceled.
So if your show succeeded, it's because Lauren didn't watch it.
No, I watched it. I was the only one who probably watched it.
So I'm saying if any of hers ever succeed, it's because you didn't watch that one.
Like, there you go.
Well,
her last show, Life with Bonnie, was on for a couple more seasons than the other shows.
That.
Yeah, that was on for, you know, more amount of time. That was the one, that was the good success, but not, you know, longer than it should have been. She was also known as sort of David Letterman girl, like, you know, like Terry Garr was known in the 80s as sort of a funny blonde who would come on a show and they had sort of like this chemistry.
Oh, I know her as Put the Candle Back.
No, she had a career. just mean that. And then in the 90s, sort of Bonnie Hunt sort of became that sort of one of, you know, sort of Dave's girl. She would come on a lot and they would just have fun. In fact, he produced one of her TV shows called The Building, which I watched. It was called The Building because it was the building next to the Cubs stadium, with name I can't remember. She's from Chicago, and I'm sorry, Bonnie. And also interesting.
Wrigley? No.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
And also really fascinating about Bonnie Hunt, I will end, I promised, as well as her awesome 90s haircut that I really wanted because I had really frizzy hair and it would not be perfect like that, is that she started out as an oncology nurse and was sort of doing improv at night and then eventually, you know, got to do it as a career.
Oh, Bonnie, come to DCM next year. Come hang.
Sure. Or you could just hang out with me. And then, of course, Critton's got... And then, of course, Chris... And then, of course, Kristen Scott Thomas is in one of my favorite movies, Four Weddings and a Funeral. And I am devastated by her dramatic career ever since. She's amazing. She's lovely. I'm making a joke. But, like, I miss her being so funny and amazing in Four Weddings and then being Miss Dramatic British Woman. But she's amazing at English Patient. She's great. She's even wonderful in this movie with her American accent, which is a little off.
Not great.
I think that's everybody. Molly Price plays Dennis Haysbert's wife. She's in tons of stuff, including Bloodline right now on Netflix.
She was like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This movie is ridiculous, which I feel like it reminded me in a way of Working Girl in that sense, where like it was obviously like cast out of New York. And so you have all these amazing actors who've gone on to be amazing character actors. And then Bonnie Hunt's the best friend in everything.
But yeah, and they also like, in the 90s, DC. I mean. It's DC, but it's clearly like Brooklyn.
Some of it is clearly Brooklyn, yeah. I think they filmed some things in New Jersey. They did film some stuff in Virginia.
The only things that they filmed in New York are like the exterior shots.
But there was stuff in DC. Like I didn't find anything that was on location in Brooklyn, but we were watching and I was like, that looks kind of like Brooklyn. But it was in New York, New Jersey, so I don't know where in New York, Miami, Maryland, and Virginia. And then when they were in Virginia, Harrison was commuting by helicopter. He got permission to let him commute by his helicopter to the shoot in Virginia.
From where was he commuting?
I'm not quite sure.
Why?
I guess he didn't want to take a car.
That's how I feel about that.
I don't know. But what I want to go back, actually, because I think we were talking over each other and people might not hear. I wanted to be clear also about that. Bonnie Hunt was literally the best friend or sister in most of the 90s movies.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, her thing. Like, she did that awesomely. Except in this one because she cheated with her best friend's husband.
Wow, Bonnie. Real fucked up on that one.
Yeah. I thought the scene when she confessed, though, was really good. Because you rarely see her do dramatic stuff. And I enjoyed that. But it felt a little like, no, Bonnie, you're always the good best friend.
Not today.
Or the cynical sister who's like, oh, Jerry Maguire, I just like faked a cigarette like everyone could see me.
She has never seen Jerry Maguire is what I'm getting at.
I saw it once on a date. But isn't there the scene where Bonnie Hunt is like in the kitchen? Isn't she? She's not smoking, or maybe she's just like really, she's like, just sort of being really cynical about Jerry to her sister.
She's not really that cynical.
Oh, God. She's a nurse in it, though, right? She's a nurse?
I
hate Jerry Maguire. I only saw it because Bonnie Hunt was in it.
I mean, she might be a little cynical because she's a divorcee.
There you go.
But I believe she's a divorcee or she just got broken up with her.
I'll save it for my show when I watch all of Bonnie Hunt's
movies. They're all having like their little meeting and Jerry walks in. That's really like, you complete me.
I love her and Jerry Maguire when they open up.
It's the only Tom Cruise movie I thoroughly enjoy.
I love her.
I love the Mummy.
I love her in Jumanji when they open up the game and she just freaks out. I love Jumanji. I love Bonnie Hunt. Anyway, there you go. So I'm going to toss this full page of actors. This is the largest page of actors that was done for the show. It's the huge page. And my friend, my really good friend knows Asif Manvi. They used to do theater together. He's supposed to be a lovely, lovely person.
Can he come on? Can I talk about Uncle Monty?
I'm trying.
I would only talk about a series of unfortunate
events. We have a friend in common who we're strangers.
He's also in that movie, The Proposal.
Oh, he is?
I believe that's him in the beginning. I think he's...
I've only seen it once.
I think he's... Let me see. Let's look it up.
All right. So we talked about the sexless scenes. We talked about Bonnie Hunt, Dylan Baker.
What scenes?
The sexless sex scenes.
We didn't talk about them.
I thought it was implied.
No, we didn't talk about them.
All right. Talk about the scenes that were obviously a body double of her butt and him opening up her pants.
Basically, hold on, I want to make sure this.
Oh, and she didn't wear a bra with a white shirt, but that didn't seem possible.
Yeah, he's in the proposal. He's their boss.
He's awesome. I love Asif. I love Asif Mamvi.
And Music and Lyrics. Oh my God.
Oh, that's right. He is in Music and Lyrics. I do remember him in Music and Lyrics.
This is now a podcast about Asif Mamvi. Oh my God. Such a good career. Anyways.
Yes. So that was why I thought it would be cool to have him on the show, to be like, hey, this is where you started. You know, I'm fascinated by origins, to talk about like, hey, this is where you started and where it went from there.
Come on our show. Basically, there's like this scene where they're like making out in the car and it's awkward. Then there's like the...
That was the least awkward of the kissing scenes, was the car.
No. And then like their first sex scene, he like turns her around and unbuttons her pants from behind.
Doesn't actually touch her breasts.
And there's like no reason for that.
Oh, no, it's just, it's obviously choreographed in a 90s sort of sexy, like, and then weird music. And he puts his hand down her pants and just sort of like pats it. It's like, I was like, what? What's happening? But it was, oh, God.
It was bad.
It was so awkward. Oddly enough, I didn't think it was the worst chemistry he's had with a woman in a movie, but it was not so, it was not good. I don't
think Harrison Ford likes kissing women in movies.
He kissed Leia pretty well.
I wonder why.
Because they had some practice.
Yeah. Except, the one time that they didn't kiss well?
In this movie? Or Leia and Han?
Leia and Han.
What one?
Was in Return of the Jedi. There's that awkward kiss where he like grabs her face, kisses her, and pulls back. And, like,
oh, you
nod.
Hate that. Yeah.
I hate that kiss. I think it's so fucking dumb. They like nod at each other. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
I could talk about when around the time the movie came out, Harrison crashed his Bell helicopter that he had been using.
How did Harrison Ford try and kill himself on this movie?
Yes, but it wasn't on the movie. I just thought it was interesting that he got permission to commute on this helicopter, and that was the helicopter that he crashed. So on October 23rd, 1999, he was doing a training flight with this Bell helicopter. It's a Bell 206 helicopter in Santa Clarita, California. Did I say that right?
Santa Clarita?
Yeah.
That's where I'm from.
Oh, it is? What were you doing in 1999? Were you there?
We hadn't moved there yet.
Yeah, we're there.
3 years.
An auto rotation of an emergency landing procedure that simulates. Oh, fuck me.
Stimulates.
I know. Freudian slip.
Do you want me to read it?
No. I want to do it because I already started it.
Now Lauren is determined.
Simulates. Okay.
Stimulates.
Shut up. It's an auto rotation of an emergency landing procedure that simulates engine failure. We're laughing because we just cut out me saying it incorrect.
We're not cutting that
no,
out.
I'm cutting it out.
I will listen back and make sure you don't cut
I'm
out.
Cutting
you
it out.
Said stimulates.
This is what happens when a dyslexic tries to read.
A dyslexic and a person who has slept maybe 9 hours in the last 5 days.
In fact, if we are going to leave this in, what I want to say is something that I love about Eddie Izzard's audiobook, who's one of my heroes, is that at the end of the book, he is reading the credits and he says something wrong and then corrects himself. Because the thing about being dyslexic is you know you're saying it wrong.
Is Eddie Izzard dyslexic as well?
Yes, he is. Which he talks about a lot in the book, which is amazing. So they kept it in. And he says the word incorrectly and then corrects himself and then kind of laughs and goes, this is what it's like to be dyslexic or something like that. And then they kept it in and it meant so much to me that they kept it in to be like, yeah, like this is how it is. So
that's what my best friend does.
She dyslexic?
Mm, Brittany is.
So you know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's why I tease you, because that's how I deal with her.
Oh, tease. Oh,
that's
gotcha.
Why I teach, because me and her, we've been best friends since we were 11. So anytime she says something, I'm like, she goes, I know, it's my brain, leave me alone. I like call her out on it.
So it's interesting too, because I had thought that this was when we were talking about that we knew he had a crash in 99. I think we all assumed it was a plane, and it wasn't. It was a helicopter. So
that's plane.
A helicopter's not a plane.
It's a flying, what do you call planes?
device, a flying device?
No, they have like a special term. It's not birds, but things that have flight.
Oh, I did want to be able to say that it was at the Van Nuys Airport because I know how to say
Keys, keys, keys on Van Nuys.
I've heard Van Nuys said. I can say words that I've heard before.
Van Nuys.
Fuck.
Here's the thing. If you're from California, there is this thing comes on the radio all the time.
Santa Clarita. Goes, I said that correctly though.
Santa Clarita?
Yeah, right? I said that right.
It's not Santa, it's Santa Clarita.
Well, I was being cheeky.
No, I know, but you like it's with most places like that in California, you like blur them together. So it's Santa Clarita.
I know that.
Cuz I'm from Valencia and that's Valencia's in Valencia. The Santa Clarita Valley.
That makes me think of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
I know. Every time they say her name, I'm like, that's Valencia. But
so that's the Bell helicopter story.
There's a in Van Nuys. There's this song for like a car dealership, and it always went to the I can't even remember the original song now, but it goes, rocking and a rolling, wheeling and a dealing, I keys, 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 keys on Van Nuys.
Oh, that's made up.
No, that's a real song.
No, the song is real, but the lyrics are wrong.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what the original... Yeah, that's what I said.
It's an old song from the 50s.
I know. I said I can't remember the original song. All I remember is the keys, 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 keys on Van Nuys. Guys, it's late. Lauren just explained what I explained again.
I zoned out for a second.
Lauren pulled at me. She was like,
I was looking at my notes. I'm sorry. I did. I pulled a Rachel. But instead of being on the internet, I was actually looking at my notes for the next thing we were going to talk about. So, Random Hearts was known as and this is a quote for the book I read, a cinematic flop.
No, it was worse.
It didn't even pay his salary. It made $32 million domestically, and it was a $70 million production. Oof. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. But Harrison won Favorite Actor of the People's Choice Award.
For what?
Because it's a People's Choice Award. They just
shouldn't choose anything. That was terrible.
It was. They're saying that they choose Harrison Ford. They choose you. He completes them.
All right, Jerry Maguire. You know.
See,
two
I brought
lines.
It back. What? Oh, okay. What also came out in 1999, Rachel?
Moulin Rouge.
No, keep going.
I think Moulin Rouge. I'm gonna be
something to do with Star Wars.
That movie doesn't exist. Hold on.
The Phantom Menace.
That movie
came
doesn't
out.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Moulin Rouge 2001. No, that movie doesn't exist.
I was just telling a friend of mine how the first time I saw Moulin Rouge, I was high on painkillers, which was not the right way to watch that movie.
I remember watching that movie in my mom's bedroom in Pennsylvania still on her little TV because that was right before we ended up. Well, we moved the next year in 2002. And I remember we were in Pennsylvania and I watched Moulin Rouge on her little TV on a VCR tape.
Aw, my mother rented it because I had all of my wisdom teeth taken out and I was on a lot of painkillers. And I don't know why she picked that movie. It was not the right choice to watch while I was high.
Well, that's how the first time I watched The Princess Bride when I was high.
Oh,
because I had eye surgery and I had one eye. I had one eye and I was high and I was watching The Princess Bride.
I hope you watched it again and appreciated it.
Yeah, I love The Princess Bride. Oh, but I was like 14 or 15 and my brother's like, you've never seen this? I was like, no. And so he was like, here, because he couldn't be there when I like got my surgery. Like he had to go somewhere for something or he had planned something. So he's like, when you come home, you're going to watch this. And so... It was high and I watched.
Do you want to hear what Harrison said in 2000 at a film festival about The Phantom Menace?
No, but yes.
Okay.
it's going to be bad, okay. But no.
It's a very different type of movie to the films we made, which depended on the relationship between the three characters or four characters. I see it as groundwork for the other films George is doing now, and I understand and appreciate the efforts involved. I also think... I also like the actors. For some reason, I cut off the end of that. So I think that's what he said. This is so diplomatic.
Yeah, because they were probably like, you can't really talk shit about it.
Well, you know, he you know, owes George so much. But going back to Random Hearts, which apparently has some deleted scenes in the DVD, did not pay for the DVD because I hated this movie. Here are some really funny reviews. Funny thing about star chemistry, you can't manufacture it. But even a search party would be hard-pressed to find a spark between Harrison Ford and Kristen Scott Thomas in Pollock's latest tearjerker. That's Rolling Stone. Roger Ebert had a really great one where he called the female character the most interesting in the whole thing. But he said it's saddled with an unnecessary crime plot.
Thank you.
Yep, I agree with that. What else did he say that I agree with? There are so many good things in Random Hearts, but they're side by side instead of one after the other. They exist in the same film. They don't add up to the result of a film. Actually, the film has no result, just an ending, leaving us all with those fine pieces still waiting to come together. If this were a screenplay and not the final product, you could see how with one more rewrite, it might all fall into place. You wish you could figure out what Harrison Ford is thinking, but then Ford has made a career out of hiding his thoughts. That's Roger Ebert. Read that one, yeah.
The bottom one?
The bottom one, yeah.
After many years of study and practice, Harrison Ford has just about mastered the art of talking without moving his lips. This is a grim and draggy romance in which even the clothes and sets are dismal. What director Sidney Pollack, one of the movie's greatest romantics, saw in this laborious, I can't talk tonight, tale is even harder to imagine. There is no heat, wit, or glamour in his telling of it. The movie is like bad gossip, a scandalous premise that comes to no interesting or amusing, or even amusing ironic point. Richard Schickel, Time. People hated this shit.
Yep. Well, because they have taste.
True.
All right. There's one more thing I think you want to talk about, right?
Yeah. The product placement in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I made a note. Do you remember them all? Because I wrote them down.
One was McDonald's.
Yep.
I made fun of the Heineken one.
The Heineken.
For like 10 minutes.
Tell them the Heineken one.
So
it was great.
Literally, he's sitting holding a Heineken beer and she goes, "What is that?" And he goes, "A Heineken." Did not need to say it. We could clearly see it was a Heineken.
But I have to say, something that I do admire about Harrison Ford, which he shows off in that scene, is he's a really good acting while eating guy.
I guess. I don't know.
There's an art to it, to be able to be heard and be like, hey, yeah, just being like all natural. I'm eating and I'm talking at the same time.
Every Captain Kirk has to be able to also do that. Because you have to eat an apple.
Okay, so I wrote them down. I have Heineken, which we talked about, McDonald's, and the Marriott Hotel.
Which, the scene with the Marriott is she's having like a fundraiser and like is on a podium that it fairly clearly could have just been like a normal podium. And
yeah,
it says real
like
big
that,
Marriott Concord.
I feel like that actually is a little realistic. I mean, I also didn't get to talk about Air Force One, that he goes down in the galley of the ship and it's like Bud, milk, Coca-Cola.
Product placement.
Yeah. But I think the thing that you made fun of was the fact that she goes, "What is this?" And it's the green Heineken bottle, which everyone freaking knows. And he's like, "Oh, it's Heineken."
He could have said Heineken or Rolling Rock and we would have been like, "Yep, sounds about right."
I also forgot to mention during that sex scene where she pretty much is like, "Nobody understands me anymore." I mean, that's not the direct quote because I can't find it. But that line of dialogue. Oh, here
nobody
it is.
Nobody knows
wait.
Me anymore. It's nobody
there
knows
There it is.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah, no one knows who I am anymore. That's it. No one knows who I am anymore. Or Harrison Ford's, "We made love that morning." And my favorite was at the end when, because you should always say your feelings in movies instead of, you know, acting. "I think I'm going to be okay." I think I hit my head in the forehead with the notebook when he said that.
I hated this.
So are anything else you want to talk about in the movie? Or are we?
No.
We're done? Okay.
I hated this movie.
I hated it too, which is why I thought that I would bring some happiness into this and talk about some other things that Harrison Ford did in 1999, other than crashing his helicopter.
Right.
As we know, and we talked about on Beltway Banthas, is he's very big in the environment. He's vice chair on Conservation International, which I found out that he's been involved in since 1991. They've been around since 1987. But listen to this. Okay. In February 1999, he facilitated an agreement between Conservation International and the... Oh, you should just read this one.
In February of 1999, he facilitated an agreement between Conservation International and the Suriname, I believe that could be wrong, government to save a 6,000 square mile portion of the Amazon rainforest from being eradicated by Asian logging companies. The logging would have threatened the existence of native wildlife, including the giant armadillo, the black spider monkey, the giant otter, and the harpy eagle, to name but a few. On the final decision, Ford said, it seems that when we hear about the rainforest, it's always bad news. Humanity will have access to a piece of the planet that is as it always was.
Also, in the summer of 99, proposals to construct a toxic waste incinerator just 100 miles from Yellowstone National Park were put on hold because of opposition from several environmental groups. Alongside other concerned residents, Ford helped to form an organization, Keep Yellowstone Nuclear Free. He donated $50,000 in the hopes of convincing the federal government to consider other methods of disposing of the harmful waste.
Gotta love him.
And then in 1999, he actually reportedly donated $5 million to Conservation International. So here are some other things that he's been involved in or awards that he's received involving the environment. So Harrison Ford is the honorary chairman of the Indianapolis Prize, one of the world's leading awards of animal conservation. He has received the Jules Verne Spirit of Nature Award, the K.T. Hurley Award for his work helping young people with the conservation projects, the World Ecology Award from the International Center for Tropical Ecology, the Global Environmental Citizen Award from the Harvard Medical School, and the Good Steward Award from the U.S. House of Representatives. He claims these honors more than make up for the fact that he's never won an Oscar. This is, by the way, from his bio from... about the environment that they added. So 99 was a big year for him in him trying to save the environment. Rachel has a list of a bunch of charities over the years that Harrison has been involved in.
Yes, he has the African Rainforest Conservancy, Barbara Davis Center for Childhood Diabetes, Conservation International, Earthwise, Elton John AIDS Foundation, E.O. Wilson, Biodiversity Foundation, the Film Foundation, the Canine Connection, Make-A-Wish Foundation, Oceana, Orca Network, Parkinson's Society, Maritime Region, Peace Over Violence, Prince's Rainforest Project, River Keeper, Screen Actors Guild Foundation, and Wild Aid.
And not on there that we talked about at the beginning of us doing this series, of course, is Faces.
Right, which is his first daughter.
Who has epilepsy.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's a pretty awesome guy.
He's killing it.
He's killing it, but not the environment.
Not the environment. Well, that's pretty much Brand Awards.
That's pretty much it. We got broken hearts. We got helicopter crashes. We got saving the environment. We got Bonnie Hunt.
We got Bonnie Hunt.
And don't see the movie.
Don't
skip this episode, though.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you heard me enough. Don't.
It's on Hulu, right?
Yeah, but still don't. It's free, but I'm telling you not to watch this.
But listen to the episode.
Listen Hopefully to our episode.
Listen to it, yes.
For sure.
We should probably take a moment to talk about our sponsor.
Yep.
Haas Urban, haasurban.com. Skincare for the fabulous. I just made that up right now. That's not their tagline. So what's your favorite part of the skincare of Haas Urban?
Listen, I say it every time.
I know you do, but say it again.
I love the headshot because I put in my lotion and it makes my skin real smooth.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy that too. I say this every time. I love the lip glides. My favorite is summer sangria.
Nice.
Because it gives me the taste of sangria without getting me drunk. And it makes my lips all fabulous and moist. Your first order on haasurban.com, 10% off. Use the code, what is it, Rachel?
Ford. F-O-R-D.
And then maybe tweet us or tweet Haas Urban and let us know what you think of their products. Where can they find you on social media, Rachel?
You can follow me on Twitter at Rachel Leishman. You can follow me on Instagram at Rachel_Leishman. You can follow me on Tumblr at Rach Solo. And you can follow my writing at Culturist, Wizards and Whatnot, Fangirlish, and Hello Giggles.
You can find me currently on Twitter.
You didn't let me ask.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. Okay, start over. And
Lauren.
Sorry. And scene.
Lauren.
Yes, Rachel.
Where can people find you on social media?
They can find me on Twitter at Lauren Milberger, LauranMilberger. You can find me at the same on Instagram, but I post nothing because, again, committed to my joke.
The joke will never end.
That's pretty much my life, yes.
If you guys want to follow the podcast, you can follow us on Twitter at the Fordcast PC, and then everywhere else is the Fordcast Podcast.
Yes. You can also find archives and information on us and a list of all of our giveaway sponsors that mm-hmm. we give away on social media, but also if you answer a trivia question about each episode on our website, mm-hmm. pretty much everything at thefordcastpodcast.com.
Right,
you can also donate some money to the podcast to help us keep this going. You can also give money to our Patreon, in which...
Patreon. That's what I
said. Oh, is that what you're trying to say?
I said patronage.
I didn't know what you were saying. I thought you were just being like, patronage.
No, I meant Patreon.
So there's a donate button to just donate, you know, whatever you would like, or the Patreon where you donate, you sign up for a certain amount per month and you get like gifts and prizes and special stuff from us. Yes, all the levels are named after Harrison Ford. So any amount at any time at any level is so helpful for us to continue the podcast going, which now is going to be a whole other year that we did not expect.
Right.
All that goes to the podcast. I promise to make sure that Rachel does not use it for pizza like she wants.
That's a lie.
Okay.
I wanted to use it for pizza.
I will stop her for doing that.
She can't stop me.
That's true. I really can't. But I will do my absolute best. No. We're kidding. Your money is not going to go towards pizza. It'll go towards the show.
Or are we kidding?
This is like an Eddie Izzard skit.
It's never ending.
Engelbert Humperdinck is dead.
No, he's not. Yes, he is. No, he's not.
Of course, it's much better when he's doing it and he actually does like
the different voices.
He doesn't do the voices. No, he just shakes his head. I can't do that on a podcast.
Yeah, that looks real good.
Anyway, if you don't have the money to support us with money, you can support us with a review on iTunes.
Yo,
go to your profile, make an awesome profile name, leave us a review. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Lauren, I don't have iTunes. Or Lauren, I've already left you a review. Take the phone of the friend next to you. Go on podcast and leave us a review, because the more reviews we get, the more iTunes will throw us out into the world. And we're also trying to get a panel at Comic-Con.
Not this one that just passed. New York Comic-Con.
New York Comic-Con, yes. Promote us to your friends on social media. Tell the person on the subway or the bus. Just get the word out for us. We would so appreciate it.
Word on the street is that this podcast is dope.
Yay.
That's all you got to write.
Okay, word for word.
Yep.
And then our next episode in 2 weeks is What Lies Beneath, and we're working on some special guests that we will hopefully be able to announce soon to join us for this movie entering the 2000s, new millennium.
One's not special.
That's not nice.
It's fine. I can be mean to Hannah.
They're both special.
It's Hannah Blackman. It's fine. I can be mean
to
her.
We just said officially, we may have another guest. It may just be Hannah.
It might just be Hannah. But Hannah, when I told her about this podcast, she only wanted to be on What Lies
Beneath. A year and a half later,
we are.
New millennium and a new time for Harrison Ford. The 2000s mm-hmm. were, this is a good movie. I like What Lies Beneath. But the 2000s were not kind to Mr. Ford.
Well, neither were the 90s, other than Air Force One.
Well, we disagree on that. Late 90s, yes. Early 90s, not so much. But anyway, we are probably way
the
over time.
The early 90s were like a long time ago. I don't even remember half the movies from the early
90s. No, like I kind of understand when actors are like, oh, I did 22 episodes this year. I don't remember anything that I did.
Yeah, I don't remember the movies we did that were in the 90s.
I don't either. I don't remember most of what we've done because it's a big blur.
Yeah. Yep. Nope.
All right. So we'll see you in 2 weeks with What Lies Beneath.
Until then.
Bye.
Bye.